name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Adeline, did you do the homework? Joshua? Teresa? Joseph? Marianne? Angelica? Claire? James? Mary? Olivia? Christopher? Diego? Liliana? Alex? Gregory? Nicholas? Andrew? Luke? Sophia? Abigail? Jameson? Did you do the homework? Ada? Eleanor? Anyone who did not get called? We're missing a few families. Okay, tell me what you learned for today's class. Ada?
I learned that in the Old Mass there were three octaves in a year, and they were Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. But in the New Mass there were only Christmas and Easter.
Yes.
And there are also, in the Old Mass there were Ember Days four times a year, and in the New Mass there are none in the U.S.
Good. What else did you learn? Okay, Mariana. And Angelica. So, you're Marianne? Okay, and Angelica. So you go first and then you go second. Go ahead.
I learned five saints that are celebrated in the new calendar. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. Mary Ann Cope, St. Kateri Tekulwitha, St. Catherine Drexel, and St. John.
N-E-U. Neumann. Okay, good. Can you say all five now? Want to try it again? Go ahead.
St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. Mary Ann Cook, St. Catherine Drexel, St. John Neumann, and St. Kateri Tekulwitha.
Good. Angelica. Right? They're the same. It's going to be 97 degrees today, so if someone wants to put on the air conditioning, knows how to do it, go ahead. What else did you learn for today's class? Let's go to the second row. Let's stay with the first row. Liliana? The Ascension, right? I don't know if you heard that. She said in the Old Mass, Ascension is on Thursday. That's when Jesus ascended into heaven. It was on a Thursday, all right? But in the New Mass, it's on Sunday. Good. And Diego, what did you learn? Good Friday and Ash Wednesday. Yeah, you never fast on Sunday. No matter what brand of Christianity you are.
Sunday,
what is it? Is it the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses that fast on Sunday? I got in trouble if for this at a Christian school teaching. I said, Christians don't fast on Sunday. And so the little boy said, well, we fast on Sunday. Well, he was, I think, a Mormon. And I said, well, Christians don't fast on Sunday. So I got in trouble for that. Because it's saying that Mormons aren't Christian. Well, they're not. They think they are. They promote themselves as Christians, but they're not. Okay, because they don't believe Jesus is God, and their idea of God is God keeps on changing. Okay, what else did you learn for today's class? Joseph had his hand up.
One of the differences between the old calendar and the new calendar is that the old calendar, you have 4 weeks of Ember Days, and the Ember Days are on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Had you ever heard of Ember Days before? Like I said, I never, you have, huh?
Yeah, I came back last week or this week, but there was an Ember Day. Oh yeah, it was last week.
Yeah, and
Ember Days
are the ones that are on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay. Anybody else? Joshua, what'd you learn? That's right, Easter ends on Pentecost, the 50th day after Easter. New calendar, old calendar, any calendar. Okay. Anybody else? Going once, twice. We're ready to start. Here we go. Okay, so this year we're comparing the old Mass to the new Mass. The Mass before Vatican II and the Mass since Vatican II. Okay, we're comparing. The second week, we looked at how they're similar, especially the definition, right? And now we're looking at differences. Last week, we looked at differences in the liturgical year, the four seasons, holy days of obligation, etc. And then we started last week on feasts. How the feasts in the old calendar, the feast days, differed from the feast days in the new calendar. Huge, huge. We're not going to be able to cover it all in these two classes. We don't have enough boards, we don't have enough time. And it's not a major interest, okay? But there's more saints that have been added, deleted, okay, that we don't have time for. But this is a sampling. These two boards are a sampling of the feasts, the difference in the feast days. So here, okay, so last week we looked at the saints that were added to the new calendar in the Americas. Canada, 8 from the United States, several from Mexico during the Mexican persecution, and we looked at the saints that were added to the new calendar from the Far East, from Japan, China, Korea, Vietnam. We did that last week. So that was A and B, Americas and Far East. Now we're on C. Okay, saints in Europe that were added to the new calendar. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, so we have Vatican II popes, all in October. John the 23rd, October 11th. The canonization of Paul the 6th, Pope Paul the 6th. And then the feast of Pope John Paul the 2nd. Okay. So all in October, next month we have the Vatican II popes. The one that started Vatican II in the end of 1962, and actually before that, he was the one who had the idea and announced it the year I was born, huh? 1959. Now you know. And Pope Paul VI ended it in 1965. All right? And then Pope John Paul II was the one that carried it out. First, as Bishop of Krakow, Poland, his diocese was a model diocese of Vatican II, the way it should be. Okay, a lot of dioceses are nowhere close to that. And he did such a good job with his diocese, he became Pope for over 25 years and did a tremendous work in carrying out Vatican II. Just incredible. Just changed the whole world. Inspired lots of young people. This extraordinary pope. One of the greatest popes. It's quite possible he'll be Pope John Paul the Great. Quite possible. And then World War II martyrs. Both of them in the concentration camp Auschwitz. That's in Poland. These two were Polish saints. Auschwitz was one of the worst. When our family was in southern Germany for 2 years, I was 9 and 10 years old, we saw another notorious concentration camp called Dachau in southern Germany. I was too young to really feel the horror of such a demonic thing. It was right out of hell. You know, putting people in ovens and burning them or gassing them to death. All these experiments, especially on priests, really horrendous experiments. Just sicko. Okay, so Edith Stein was an atheist, a non-practicing Jew, who became Catholic, who became a Carmelite, and her name was changed to Sister Benedicta of the Cross. So she's a Carmelite. She was the first to die. And then about a year or so later, St. Maximilian Kolbe, a Franciscan Capuchin, was he a Capuchin? He died. He was given a lethal injection. And it took about 2 weeks, I think, before he finally died. It was an amazing thing. So those are, but these are not the only two martyrs. There's like maybe 100 in the martyrology, mostly priests and religious. Most of them from Poland, okay? So lots of martyrs during World War II. All we hear about is the poor Jews, you know, 6 million Jews. But there were a lot of Catholics. A lot of Catholics that were martyred. Okay. And then others. St. Cloud de la Colombier, St. Charbel, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Sister, Mary Faustina Kowalska, and then Blessed, this is not a canonized saint yet, but Blessed James Francis Kern, a Norbertine. So these are all added. You don't find any of these on the old calendar. So for A, B, and C, those are all additions. The saints of the Americas, the Far East, Europe, all additions. And then this is an example of a canonized saint from Africa, from the Sudan. She was a slave. She was tortured, beaten. She became a servant in Italy and given her freedom, and then became a religious sister and is the first saint of Sudan in Africa. Oh, I just... There was a... There's a country called Niger, huh? Which is different than Nigeria. And one of the priests there was kidnapped. And so a friend of his from the United States, I think in Missouri, a priest, is going back to Niger to talk to the kidnappers to try to arrange his, to see what can be done to get him released. What do you want? What can we give you in exchange for this priest? Lots of persecution going on in parts of Africa, okay, where Christians are being persecuted, killed, particularly priests and religious, bishops, okay. Lots, mostly from radical Muslims. Okay. So that's Africa, and then the whole church, the church universal, I mean, it's not tied down to a country or a continent. You have Divine Mercy Sunday, okay? That's not on the old calendar. It's on the new calendar, but not the old. Okay, so these are all additions, and there's many more. We just don't have time for, okay? Any questions about any of this here? Yes? Yeah, he was poisoned with an injection, a shot. Josie, did you do the homework? And Joseph?
Yes, Father.
And Peter?
Yes, Father.
Now, I'm going to need help from parents to verify that this is all true. As far as I know, these saints, they're in the martyrology, okay? But as far as I can tell, they're not on the universal calendar for the new mass. They're in the old calendar, as far as I know, but not the new. So maybe you can do some quick research to find that out. So Josie did the homework. And you too. Alright, let's go through these names. Who is Saint Bernadette Subaru? Come on, you know. Our Lady of
Fatima?
That's the three children.
Lourdes,
huh? Our Lady of Lourdes appeared to Saint Bernadette Subaru in 1858. And said she's the Immaculate Conception. Okay, as far as I know, that's not on the new calendar. You have World Day of the Sick. I think that was the day that you had her feast day. You have the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. But I don't think you got that. And the old calendar has Saint Joan of Arc from France, who was killed by the English, burned at the stake, called a heretic. She all knew it wasn't true. But they just hated the French, and so they took it out on a woman, you know, the English beating up on a woman. Yeah, they're really tough. But as far as I know, she's not in the new calendar. Several of these are women that got bumped off the calendar. What do you know about St. Philomena? Joseph?
Oh, well, she was either person, or, okay, so she had two parents, and they
two
were
parents.
Like, or, I mean, and so, they were kind of, like, wealthy, and, so one day, they went to, like, the Diocletian, I think, or yeah. And
if you don't know, don't worry about it. It's not important.
And then the Roman Emperor like saw Philomena and was like he became in love with her. But Saint Filomena already promised to like Jesus that she would forever be like a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put her in a cell, but she still didn't like crack. And so he put her on an anchor, right? And he threw her into the river, but like angels carried her out of the river. And then he put her on a stake, and the arrows, he made the soldiers fire arrows at her. But like, and then, but they didn't kill her, and then they shot burning arrows at her, but then the arrows turned around, and then they shot her. And then,
Martin
finally, Diocletian just, like, stabbed her with a sword.
Okay. So that's Saint Filomena. Saint John Vianney had a devotion to her, prayed to her over and over and over, asking for her to intercede. She got dubbed from the new calendar. Anybody know anything about Saint Raymond Nonnatus? I didn't know anything until a year ago. I was visiting the sick and the Martins, and they told me about him. He was not born of a woman. What? He was inside the womb, but his mom died, and he was still inside the womb. And sometime later, people discovered her body and could see that, you know, she had a baby inside, and so they cut her open, and there was a live baby, Raymond. Nonnatus, known means not, and natus means born. So not born of a woman. Okay, and he became a saint. Yeah. He's booted from the new calendar. Do you know Saint Joseph Cupertino? Yeah, anybody see a video on him? Do you know anything about him?
Because he's the most famous story is that he had to, in order to become, he wasn't like, he wanted to become a priest and he had to pass this test. And he had
he wasn't the brightest guy.
He wasn't the brightest star in the sky. But he prayed, like, just asked, just help me, God. So they ended up asking him the one question.
He was asked that on the test. He just spent all his time praying. And what stands out about him, Joseph?
He would regularly levitate.
And
once
he just start going up in the air.
Once there were people that couldn't put a cross on top of the hill, so they asked St. Joseph Cupertino to levitate up there.
So he carried the cross. Okay, yeah, like 8 feet up high, sometimes saying mass. It ended up being a high mass because he was way up there. Yeah, he's booted. There's Saint Cecilia. As far as I know, she got booted from the new calendar. And, you know, patron of music, patroness music. You know who Saint Catherine Laboure was? Abigail?
She was the one who promoted that Raffles down.
That's right! Yeah, she should be on the calendar. From France, right? Okay, so these have all been booted, and there's tons of others. All kinds of weird names that you would never name your kids. Okay. They were popular names in their time, but now they just sound so foreign to us. You know, Saint Narcissus, who would name their kid that? Okay, so lots of saints added to the new calendar. Lots of saints, not just these, deleted from the new calendar. So that's a huge difference right there. Huge difference. And then feast days that were transferred, starting with Christ, and then it picks up over here the saints. So, feast days having to do with Christ, Epiphany, his baptism, the holy name of Jesus, Jesus' ascension, Corpus Christi, Christ the King, all has to do with Christ. Epiphany. In the old calendar, Epiphany is how many days after Christmas?
17?
Oh my, you're getting higher.
18?
You're getting even higher.
13?
No, but you're close. That's the closest.
20?
8?
12?
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. This is the 12th day of Christmas. The octave is the first, right? But the 12th day is January 6th. So in the old calendar, it's always January 6th. I'm getting all excited. In the new calendar, it's always a Sunday. You know what's going to be interesting about this coming year? Both of these are going to be on the same day. January 6th is going to be on a Sunday. That only happens one out of seven times. Okay? This year, the new calendar, old calendar, will be on the same page. Okay, the baptism of the Lord. This year, okay, it's a little different every year, but this year, this past year, it was on January 13th. Now remember, in the old calendar, Christmas just lasts for 8 days, January 1st, okay? But in the new calendar, it's about a week longer. It goes up until the baptism of the Lord. This year, that was January 8th, a week after January 1st, okay? So two different... Yeah, like 5 days difference this year, but not in the same day. The holy name of Jesus, I don't know why this is, but in the old calendar, it's January 2nd, new calendar, January 3rd. Ascension happened on a Thursday, and so in the old calendar, they celebrated on this Thursday. It makes sense. Well, in the new calendar, we have it on Sunday because there's more people at Mass, more people can celebrate it then. Okay. And same with Corpus Christi. The Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ reminds us of Holy Thursday, right? When Jesus gave us that sacrament, the Eucharist. Now, there's so much going on Holy Thursday, we don't have that much time to focus on this, on the Eucharist. And so there's a separate feast day. And it makes sense to have it on a Thursday because it happened on Holy Thursday, just like this Ascension happened on Ascension Thursday. But in the new calendar, we want more people to be able to celebrate it, so we have it on Sunday. Okay, so there's a good reason for both of these here. Now, I don't understand this. The Feast of Christ the King, there's a whole month difference here. In the old calendar, it's October 28th. In the new calendar, it's the last Sunday of the liturgical year. Okay. So this year, that's November 25th. So it's around that time, more or less. Any questions about anything here? Okay, so feasts that were transferred, we talked about feasts that had to do with Christ, not names of people, but feast days having to do with Christ. Now we move over here, feast days that have to do with the saints that were transferred. So in the old calendar, the feast of St. Timothy is January 24th. Why would it make sense to put it... January 26th? Why would that make sense? Look at January 25th is the feast of St. Paul's conversion. And he was close to Saints Timothy and Titus. He made them bishops. So in the old calendar, you have the feast of St. Timothy on January 24th. On the new calendar, you have the feast of Saints Timothy and Titus the day after St. Paul's feast day. It makes sense. I like this. St. Angela Merici, in the old calendar, it's June 1st. Why would you move it? Why put it there? I didn't know until a few years ago. You know this? No way. I only found this out going to St. John the Baptist, which has a school, and it was Teachers Week. It was Teachers Week. And it turns out there are feast days of saints all that week that were teachers, like St. Thomas Aquinas. Okay? So St. Angela Merici started a teaching community. Religious sisters, maybe the first, among the first, who taught. One of the first women's religious communities to teach children. Okay, especially girls, to teach girls. So they transferred her feast to go along with those other teachers, so that she's part of Teachers Week. I like that. Okay, so some of these feasts, I understand, some of them I don't. I understand this one. In the old calendar, it's May 14th. Why would you put it to August 27th? It's August 28th. Who's her son?
St. Augustine.
St. Augustine, huh? And when's his feast day?
28th.
The 28th. So they have mother and son a day apart. You celebrate her first, women first, and then you celebrate the son. Okay? If it wasn't for St. Monica, you wouldn't have St. Augustine. You'd have Augustine, but not Saint. Yeah, he would have got it a whole different place if it wasn't for his mom. Yeah, this is interesting. Saint Sylvester. Anybody know anything about Saint Sylvester? He was a pope. How is he different than the first, than the popes in the first 300 years? What happened to every pope in the first 300 years?
They were persecuted.
More than persecuted.
Martyred.
They were martyred. Every pope. Every single pope for the first 300 years of Christianity were martyred, okay? There was a series of Roman emperors that killed, persecuted and killed lots of Christians. Sometimes by the hundred. Okay, the worst was the last persecution, Diocletian. That was the last. And then you had Saint Sylvester, a new era, because you have a new Roman emperor, the first...
Constantine.
The first that made it safe to be Christian. Okay? He built churches. He did a lot to promote Christianity. And so this was the first pope that had a longer life. He wasn't martyred. So he marks the end of one age and the beginning of a new age. So, in the old calendar, he's put at the end of the liturgical year. Pretty smart, huh? And in the new calendar, he's put at the end of the secular calendar, the last day of the year. The following day would be the first day of the year, okay? So both of these make sense. So these are saints that got transferred. All right, now you have on the same day two different feast days. In the old calendar, it's one feast day. In the new calendar, it's a different feast day. Same day, different name. So the first day of the new secular year, January 1st. In the old calendar, it's the 8th day of Christmas, the last day of the Christmas season. In the new calendar, it's focused on Our Lady. January 1st is Mary, the Mother of God. What's the Greek word for Our Lady, Mother of God? The Greek word that was given to her at the Third Ecumenical Council, the Council of Ephesus, in 431. Theotokos, huh? God-bearer? You don't remember that. Okay. So that's the new calendar, Theotokos. February 2nd on the old calendar. Oh, how many? February 2nd, how many days is that after Christmas?
55?
Less than 50.
52?
Close, close.
42?
That's the closest. Let's see. Yeah, that's the closest.
40,
45?
37?
Pretty close.
36?
34? 40? 40 days after Christmas is February 2nd. And on that day, in the old calendar, it's the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the 40th day. That's something that's Jewish. Okay? But in the new calendar, the focus is not on Our Lady, it's on Our Lord. It's the fourth joyful mystery, the presentation of the Lord in the temple. It was on the 40th day he was brought to the temple. You have the story of Simeon, right? Holding the child Jesus in his arms. So, two different, same day, but a different celebration. March 7th. I told you St. Thomas Aquinas is celebrated during this week, right? But in the old calendar, it's March 7th. Why don't the Dominicans want his feast day on March 7th? Because that's Lent. In Lent, you don't celebrate feast days unless they're really big. Okay, Lent is Lent. You focus on Lent, you don't focus on feast days. So he gets bumped off every year because of Lent. So the Dominicans rightly want his feast day celebrated. I agree. I'm a fan of St. Thomas Aquinas. So they move it to a time when there's no Lent. Okay? In January. But on March 7th in the new calendar, we celebrate Saints Felicity and Perpetua. They're not big feast days now, but in the early church, that was a big feast day. They're in the Roman canon. Anytime you have the old mass being celebrated, you have to mention all the saints. It's not optional. In the new mass, in the Roman canon, you have two lists of saints, and you can either mention them or not. It's up to the priest. Okay, but not in the old mass. You have to mention every single one of them. There's like 24 of them. And among the last are Felicity and Perpetua. So they're mentioned every single Tridentine Mass. Every Mass, that's the old Mass, they're always mentioned. Every Mass. Okay. April 30th, St. Catherine of Siena in the old calendar. In the new calendar, you have Pope Pius V. Both of them were Dominicans, just like St. Thomas Aquinas. Okay, but two different feast days. Same day. In the old calendar, June 30th was the feast of St. Paul. You'd celebrate the feast of St. Peter on June 29th, and then the next day, St. Paul. That's the old calendar. In the new calendar, what do we celebrate on June 29th? The feast of Saints Peter and Paul together. This is Vatican II. You put them together. Okay. And so the next day, June 30th, that's the feast of the Roman martyrs. July 26th, old calendar. You have Saint Anne. New calendar. On that same day, you have the feast of Saint Anne and Joachim. Again, this is Vatican II, putting this the two together. A good example of husband and wife who are saints, role model saints, a married couple. Keep them together. Let no man separate. not even on the liturgical calendar. Let no man separate. Okay, so they're put together. You don't have St. Anne on one day and St. Joachim on some other month's day. You keep them together. August 4th. In the heat of the summer, we're sweating bullets. You have the feast of St. Dominic in the old calendar. In the new calendar, it's St. John Vianney. August 8th, you have the Feast of St. John Vianney in the old calendar and the Feast of St. Dominic in the new calendar. August 22nd, old calendar, old Mass. You have the Immaculate Heart of Mary. New calendar, the Queenship of Mary. A week after the Assumption. A week after the Assumption in the new calendar, you have Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth, the Queenship of Mary. September 17th, we just had this. It was on Monday. Okay. In the old calendar, I like it, the Stigmata of St. Francis. There's no Stigmata of St. Francis in the new calendar. In place of that, you have St. Robert Bellarmine, who was born on the Feast of St. Francis and died on this day, September 17th, the Feast of the Stigmata. And he was very much devoted to St. Francis. Okay, so it's beautiful that you have these two. They go together. September 29th, I should know this, I'm from St. Michael's Abbey. We have a big feast day coming up. I think it's Saturday. Feast of St. Michael. How did we get that name? Because our seven Norbertine founders who came escaped from Hungary just before the Nazis took over their abbey. Their abbey was called St. Michael's. And it goes back to, I think, the 1200s. Okay, really old abbey. They came out to Southern California and they named their church, it wasn't an abbey yet, okay, it would take some time, but they named their place St. Michael's. And then it became St. Michael's Priory, and then it became St. Michael's Abbey. Now, in the new calendar, you have St. Michael, St. Raphael, and St. Gabriel, three archangels. Again, this is Vatican II, putting saints that have a similarity, put them together. Okay, communio, unity, yes.
At St. Michael's Abbey, are they going to have a party?
Well, what we Norbertines do, we invite priests that are friends of ours. Usually parishes we serve. We serve in over 30 parishes on a Sunday, on a weekend. So we know a lot of priests, mostly from the Orange Diocese, some from the LA Diocese. I tried to get Father Stanley to go, but he didn't want to. He missed a wonderful opportunity. We had two bishops, wonderful bishops. We get between 20, 30 priests. This year is kind of low. Maybe there's other things going on. But it's good. It's good to have that rapport between the diocesan priests and the Norbertine priests. Yeah, we have tons of seminarians to serve the tables. Okay, before the dinner, you have evening prayer at 5, and then you have happy hour. Not too happy, okay? Lots of alcohol, and so it kind of gets you all ready for dinner. And then when you come inside for a lovely dinner, the food is really good. It's amazing I don't have a Buddha belly, huh? Or at least a beer belly. But maybe when I stop bicycling, that'll start happening. Okay, so this is a taste of how different the two calendars are. That's the bottom line for today's class. You're not going to remember 1/10 of this stuff. I don't expect you to, but I just want to drive home the point that the old calendar, old liturgical calendar year, the new liturgical calendar year are so different. We are not on the same page. Rarely are we on the same page. Okay? I'm fine with having the old mass. I don't want to do it. Okay, I've been asked to do it by my superior. I've been asked, not told, okay, by Father Marx twice. And I said, I don't want it. I love the new mass. Okay? And if I do the old mass here, who's going to hear confessions? No one. Okay, so that just cuts off any further pushing me to try to do the old mass. Okay, but I like having the old mass. I don't like having two different calendars. Okay, they're so different. I wish we had one calendar for both. Have the old mass, the new mass, but have us on the same page. That's my opinion. Okay, any questions? Abigail.
What's the difference between radical Old Mass people and SSPX
members? I don't know. They both think that they're the remnant, they're the church, you know, the rest of us are not part of the real church. You know, it's like Protestantism. You just make up your own church. You got a better way, you think you do. Okay, but it's not founded on rock. It's not founded on the Pope. It's their own thing. Yes.
Why are some saints on the old calendar, not on the new calendar?
Because a lot of people can't relate. They've never heard these saints before. They don't know anything about it. It's meaningless to most people. Yeah, there are some people that are really into the saints. They know everyone and lots about each saint. But most people, it's irrelevant. Okay? They're more interested in local saints. You know, this. If you're from the United States, you're just automatically more interested in the American saints. But saints from the 3rd, 4th, 5th century that have weird names, you're not likely to be interested in them. But they're all over the old calendar. It's tough. You want to hold on to the good from the past, right? You don't want to lose it. But on the other hand, there's just so much, you can't have it all. You can't mention every single saint for every day of the year. There's at least a dozen every day of the year. Okay? Our faith is so rich. Anything else? Okay, everybody got the handout from the beginning of the year, right? So next week and the week after, we're going to zero in on the Mass. These past 2 weeks, last week, this week, we zeroed in on something bigger, the liturgical year. Now we're going to zero in on the two classes on the Mass in general. And then we'll have a class on the first half of the Mass. And then we'll have two classes on the second half of the Mass. The differences between the two, the old Mass and the new Mass. Okay, so these next weeks we're going to be zeroing in on the Mass. Let's stand and pray. Position. Are you ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to better know the Mass, the new Mass, the old Mass, to better love the old Mass, better love the new Mass, to better know what they have in common and what the differences are, and to better know the reform that's needed for the future. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.